Welcome. You're listening to the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast, live from the Fly Fishing Show in Denver, Colorado. Fly Fishing Journeys is proud to be broadcasting live from the event and having great conversations with many of the finest fly fishing and fly tying experts in the world. You can find these podcasts posted to our website, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and Facebook. To stay up to date with these and other Fly Fishing Journeys adventures, please be sure to follow and subscribe. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
All right, thanks, Josh. And I am super excited to be here at the Denver Fly Fishing Show and to kick it off with none other than the legend himself, Mr. Tim Flagler. Tim, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here, Rob.
So great. And we're at the Fly Fishing Show here in Denver, kick off of the big show season.
Yeah, and this one's an exciting one. I hate to say it, it's probably my favorite show of
Denver.
The year. Yeah, Denver. It's for me, being from the East Coast, it's a whole different crowd. I get to see people from out here, and it's a great vibe is what it is.
Yeah, it's fun place to be. Let's give the audience just an understanding of who you are. Tim Flagler is the owner of Tightline Productions, a video production company located in California, New Jersey. Although he produces video programs over a wide range of topics, he specializes in fly fishing. Almost every week, he produces a new fly tying or how-to video, which appears not only on his YouTube channel or Vimeo channel, but also on MidCurrent and the Orvis Fly Fishing blog as well. Tim, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do. It's been one of those things that, you know, it was never in any business plan that we had. It's just over the last 7-8 years, it's just kind of evolved. It's great that so many people like the videos. They're fun to do, and we have guest tiers that come in. It's not always me tying, so I get to meet with them and pirate techniques from those guys as well, which is part of the game.
Well, you know what? It's funny because a good friend of yours is also a new good friend of mine, Mr. Tim Camisa.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a podcast with him at the International Fly Tying Symposium. And in the podcast, he actually mentioned you as kind of like the gold standard for fly tying on YouTube. You know, I respect him so much. And to have him say that you're kind of his mentor or somebody that he looks up to, you just really speaks volumes about who you are.
That's really nice. And Tim's videos are right up there. Kind of a different style than I do, but you know, that's great. That's, everybody can have their own style, and it's perfect. It's whatever methods of learning,
right?
What different people respond to.
Tell me, Tim, how long have you been tying for, like, YouTube and Vimeo? You said you started on Vimeo.
Yeah, I actually started tying like 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been tying for a long time, and started first YouTube video or Vimeo video was about 8 years ago, and mm-hmm. it was totally by accident. A friend of mine wanted to learn how to tie this one weird little fly called the Y2K. Some of you might know what it is. It's not a hard tie at all, and he said, "Well, why don't you make a video and then send me the video?" And back then, I didn't know anything about YouTube, and I couldn't figure out, other than burning a DVD and sending it to him, I couldn't figure out any other way to get it to him. And so I thought, well, I could put it up on YouTube. And so I put it up on YouTube and called him the next morning and said, did you get to see the video? He goes, no. And I said, well, why does it have 30 views on it if you never even watched it?
Wow.
I didn't get the whole the private versus public thing.
Right.
And a little while later, I checked and there were over 80 views on it. And you know, there might be something here. There are other people that are interested in this stuff. And so kind of just experimented, came up with a model of what I wanted in a tying video and stuff that I wasn't seeing on other people's tying videos. And I still watch a ton. I mean, I watch more tying videos than anybody on the planet,
right?
I think. And all of them, even the really bad ones. I mean, and I think you all know what really bad ones are, but they all have something to offer. There's, mm-hmm. I truly learn from each and every one of them. But yeah, I kind of have a real specific formula of how I like to do the tying videos, and we've stuck with it, and
yep.
people seem to like it.
I do love the way that you kind of cut everything together and edit, mix it together. It's just really awesome to watch. And you seem to have your segments, and you kind of go from point A to point B, and each point A to point B has its own segment, if you will.
Yeah.
And you have your cut points. And so it makes it look very professional.
Yeah, and it's in from a video perspective, it's a way to get out of things, to get away from something. You know, if the fly is going badly, you have a place to cut into. And mm-hmm. but the main thing and the main reason for doing it is when I was watching other people's tying videos, they'd just be left with a view of the fly in the vise. And they'd go off camera to prepare the materials
for the next thing. You have to be close up.
Well, but I want to see the materials prep. Materials prep is just as important as the fly tying.
Right.
And to not show that, it just that's you're not learning as much as you possibly could. So that's what we do is we'll cut away. You know, if you're tying in a pheasant tail, for example. We'll cut away and I'll show you stripping the fibers off the pheasant tail and
right.
and aligning the tips by aligning the butts, maybe snipping off the little curlies and then back up to the fly and tying them in. So
does that come from multiple cameras?
No, it's I'm probably giving away little secrets here, but a lot of times I'll go through and whether it's me tying or someone else and have them tie the fly the way they normally would, as if they're sitting. Tying multiple flies, you know, pretend
okay.
this is the third fly of a dozen.
I see.
And you're just cranking through it and
shoot. You'll use some of that, like, kind of we call it B-roll, if you will.
Well, yeah. And so I'll just shoot that entire tying sequence and then I'll go back. And for each one of those materials, or if you're showing what the hook is, I'll just have a little, you know, have the hook on the table and show hands picking up the hook and going to the tying vise.
Okay.
And so you get to see all the materials and
right.
Materials prep.
So all the fly tires who tie for video just got a little behind the scenes.
I probably shouldn't have. it's all right there for everybody to see, but I think a lot of people they get caught up on things like you know, the clarity
sure.
of the video and stuff like that. Or how close up we get. They
right.
don't really focus on what we're doing.
Well, if I don't get any behind the scenes, Tim, nobody's going to be interested in my podcast.
I threw you a bone.
You got me a bone. I appreciate that. And what's interesting, too, is whenever I see you at the shows and work, your wife Joan is with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's awesome. You guys work at this as a team.
Yeah. We you know, working with your spouse it's difficult, but... we've been doing it for...
That's what she said.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not in those same words, but we have very complementary skill sets. What I'm not good at, she's really, really good at. And you know, I'm kind of more the creative mm-hmm. End of things. And it's just in our business as a whole and in the fly fishing, and she's not a fly fisher. She really doesn't fly fish at all. But
she loves being around the industry.
Yeah, she does. And she knows more industry people than I do at this point.
Well, she works at the Angling Bookstore at the shows.
Yes. And so she's gotten to know a lot of people through that. And just by doing our business and mm-hmm. corresponding with people.
Director of Public Relations.
Yeah.
And she organizes podcasts for us.
Yeah. And you know, I guide in addition to doing the tying videos and our video business. And so I'm away from the phone and away from email for large right. amounts of time. And so she handles all that stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome. You need that.
Oh yeah.
Complimentary.
It's huge. And yeah. There's no way Tightline Productions would work without her. It's just
right.
not going to happen. So.
Well, I'll mention here too, is that many of our listeners might know Joan from just maybe buying a book at Angling Bookstore.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Yeah. And if, you know, if they're vendors, listen, you know, materials manufacturers.
Sure.
We have a whole list of great people who have supported us over the years. Mm. People like Wopsy, Regal Vice, Orvis, Wright Bobbin, Anvil Scissors has been great. And I'm probably missing some in there. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah,
we couldn't do it without their support.
Well, that's what I like to ask, too, is like for our listeners who do tie, what are some companies or products, if you will, that you can go to bat for and say, hey, this is what I use and this is what I recommend.
Yeah, right through that list. Wopsy in particular, we use their materials all the time.
Well, what about Wopsy do you think is an advantage, gives you an advantage on the
list? They have just a huge selection of materials from really classic stuff, you know, natural furs and feathers, all the way through to really modern synthetics. And, you know, they've embraced Euronymphing and slotted tungsten beads and jig hooks, and all, to me, at a fair price to consumers, too. I know I sound like an ad or something, but that's a big part of it, particularly when you're just starting out fly tying, is you don't want to crash into this wall and have a financial wall that prohibits you from tying. And so their materials are all reasonable. They're good quality. So they've been great. And, you know, the guys at Regal Vice have just been Regal, excellent.
Yeah. Everyone says Regal.
They are just machines. That's all there is to it.
And they last.
They last, and they have a really nice selection of vices, too, because of I fish for just about everything and tie for just about everything. And it really helps to have a variety of specialty vices for tying different flies. That's not for everybody. You certainly don't need that in order to tie flies. But once you get into large salt water, it's nice to have a big game head that's going to hold a 4-aught hook or or if you're, you know, into tying really small 22s, 24s, 26s, to have a midge head that works well.
What model do you use for your tying for the Regal?
For the Regal, I'm mostly on a Regal Revolution with stainless steel jaws. It covers a huge range of flies. And so I just plunk that thing down, and I can go from tying saltwater flies all the way to the smallest midges on that one vice. But if I'm having a midge fest, if you will, and everything's going to be small, I'll switch it out, drop in their midge jaws and use them. Or if I'm going big, you know, tying a whole bunch of clousers and deceivers for saltwater, I'll put in the big game head. It's got these grooves in it. Just lock in these giant hooks, and they're immovable. You'll bend the hook before you move it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So good stuff.
Well, talking about your YouTube channel, you got a huge subscriber base. What are you now? Up over 60,000, did I say?
We just crossed 60,000.
Congratulations.
Thank you. About a week ago. And 50,000 was hard won. You know, that just took years to do. But this last 10,000 has taken a while. I think you get to kind of that saturation point. I know there are other video tires, Davey McPhail, for example, who have quite a bit more. But we're very happy to pass that 60,000 threshold.
So awesome. And we were talking about like how many millions of views you had, and you mentioned that you have some actual videos with like 1 to 2 million views.
Yeah. Some of the older videos, and believe it or not, it's the knot tying videos. Okay. We're kind of specialists in fly tying, but the ones that truly get the traffic are things like the blood knot, the Davy knot, how to tie a uni knot, and
search.
Yeah, they it's somewhere in the Google search. It has nothing to do with me.
The interwebs.
Yeah. Whatever they got going on. Whatever algorithms they got running, just keep on running them.
Yes.
because we've also done some weird videos just to throw into the mix to see where they land.
Just see how it plays.
Yeah. And I, when I was in high school and college, I learned how to open clams for eating raw clams when I was a little kid, and would open clams at cocktail parties during the summer and stuff. So I got to be pretty fast. So I threw in a video on how to open clams, and it's one of our highest.
That's cool.
It's actually, if you check it, Martha Stewart and I are kind of one and two on how to open clams. So
that's cool.
Fun little piece.
Do you love like seafood? And
oh yeah, I
shuck. Do you love raw?
Yeah, everything. I'm a beach kid kind of, and spent a lot of time at the Jersey Shore. Yeah, you know, grew up saltwater fishing and Just love it down there.
That's so cool. So you grew up in that area, though.
Yeah, I spent weekends and summers on the Jersey Shore, and fishing was just not necessarily fly fishing at the time, but was just as long as I can remember. I just loved fishing.
How did you get into fly fishing?
Fly fishing was when I went to college, St. Lawrence University, way upstate New York, like as far as you can go. Your next stop is Canada. There's St. Lawrence Seaway. And I was spin fishing, and even started spin fishing, you know, freshman year up there. And a professor and a couple other guys saw me and some friends spin fishing, and basically recommended that we were in college now, and
yes,
and that we fly fishing was, you know, the
it was more proper.
Yeah, it was a little more proper, and so we started there, and those guys really helped us out, and boy, it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah.
And then I graduated from college miraculously, because they're, you know, between the Adirondacks to the south, Salmon River over to the west, and then, you know, all of New England to the east, and all of Canada just to the north.
You fell in love.
Yeah. And so, like I said, amazing that I graduated for the amount that I fished. But after I graduated, went back to New Jersey, was working there, and I was living in sort of close to New York City, but every chance I get, I'd race west out to the trout streams in New Jersey. And so when it came time to kind of settle down and move to this little town called Califon, and it's on the south branch of the Raritan River.
Oh, yeah.
It's 1 mile square, about 1,000 people. And it basically in town, we've got a general store, a post office, and a fly shop. So,
wow.
All the bases were covered for me,
yeah.
And we've been there ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I love the place.
We're going to take a short break in our podcast to thank you, our listeners. We are really excited you found our podcast, and we hope you are enjoying them. One thing we have seen is so many of the early podcasts are still being listened to. People tell us all the time that they start listening to the podcast, they subscribe, then they go back to the start and listen to all the episodes. That's so cool. Thank you. We are happy to announce the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast has just been approved on the Google Play Music Store. So along with Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Spotify, we should have all the major podcast channels covered. If there are other channels you think we should be on, please let us know. You can also listen directly on our website, flyfishingjourneys.com. If you like our podcast, I would ask that you subscribe on your favorite player and please leave us a review. I know Apple Podcast reviews are very helpful in the show being found. Now back to the podcast.
Now tell me about Tightline Productions.
I work for an educational video producer for 13 years from college until I started Tightline. And the company ended up moving to Atlanta, and it just wasn't right for me and my wife and family. We just wanted to stay where we were,
right.
And a bunch of other things. And so worked for another company, a web development company, for a year. And then knowing full well I wanted to start Tightline Productions.
Yeah.
And so we started doing that. And, you know, as anybody who started their own small business knows, it's a lot of hurdles, especially in the beginning, but we're 20 years in now.
That's
and,
so cool.
And the business has changed. A lot of things that we never saw coming. I'd like to tell you that it was all planned, but it really wasn't. And so we've kind of learned to just, you know, follow where things go.
You got to follow with the videography business.
And that's
can never stay still.
That's how we've ended up doing this, you know, the whole fly fishing, fly tying gig. And we're now just starting to host trips. I was in Patagonia, Argentina, last April, and just fell in love with the place.
Yeah.
This company, Andy's Drifters, just a great outfit. They've been running trips for years and years, and first class operation. And so I'll be hosting two trips with them this April. It's kind of getting into their late fall, winter. You know, I can't say every year, but the weather was just gorgeous when I was there last year.
April last year?
Yeah. And so, you know, the fish, the brown trout down there, are really hungry. They're starting to take big streamers, but we still caught a whole bunch of fish on small dries, 16s and 18s.
Wow.
You know, Catskill style dries, plus hopper, dropper. So it's this huge variety of fishing. And the weather's, it's crisp at night, but, you know, up to 60s during the daytime, and just stellar.
What type of fishing is that when you go down there? Because I know Patagonia, when they say Patagonia, you can do anywhere from the long walks in these beautiful valleys to the, you know, like a Jurassic Park where it's more lake fishing.
Yeah.
What type on your trip are you specifically?
This is kind of all the above.
Okay.
I did not get to do any of the lake fishing, and it's not near Jurassic Lake, so kind of a different animal.
Right.
But they do have stillwater fishing as part of it. We were mostly on the rivers, medium-sized rivers, and My favorite part was the multi-day float trips were just, okay. I mean, when you're even floating and fishing all day, and it's everything, streamer fishing, dry fly fishing, hopper dropper, just blasting down these rivers in drift boats, inflatables mostly.
And then you'd overnight.
And you overnight, and it's like, it's getting dark, and it's like, we're hundreds of miles from civilization.
That's unbelievable.
And you pull over, and there's this whole campsite lit up with, you know, a cook tent, a bar tent.
What?
They bring, you know, a little generator out there, so there are lights, and your tent's all set up with a little bunk in it, and there's a half a lamb roasting on an open fire, like not charcoal. This is driftwood, and
so you just hit like the five stars in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and so you know it's not for everybody. It's right. Camping. It's kind of glamping. It's
not roughing it.
Oh, I was sold. I mean, after the first night, and so that's my thing. We're doing one trip that's kind of more adventure based like this, and we have another week for people who are less willing to really get out there. Okay. And that's more lodge based, you know, beautiful and beautiful meals every night. And I'll be doing fly tying while we're there.
Okay.
People are, you know, if they want to bring their own fly tying gear to tie along, if not, I'll just be tying flies for the next day.
So there's like a little demo or instruction involved as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And, getting them through the fly tying or the fly selection for the particular day and things like
that's
that.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
so how many people would you bring with you on a hosted trip?
It's eight, including myself, for each week. So seven for each week. And I'm literally counting
the days. Are you staying down or are you coming back and forth?
No, I'm staying down.
You're staying down. So you'll have a new group coming down to meet you there.
Yeah. After last year, a week just wasn't enough for me there. The place is so gorgeous. There's so much to see. You could never fish all the water. The people are fabulous. You know, I'm telling people that are going, plan on gaining 10 pounds when you're down there.
Yeah, it's food, right?
Yeah, food and beef and wine culture.
How would somebody get a hold of you for a hosted trip like that, Tim?
Just through our website. You know, I'll be presenting on Patagonia. You got a video that I'm showing at all the shows this year. Tightlinevideo.com is our website. They get through to us that way. Or come and see me at the shows. I'll be at all the fly fishing shows except for West Coast this year.
Tell me about, if we can, before we close, Tim, can you kind of give me an overview of what you're seeing right now in the fly tying world? I mean, this thing is moving and shaking, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, and there's people doing, like, Instagram, and this, you know, beautiful flies, and flies that are, you know, more rudimentary, that kind of fish, and what is your kind of take on what's happening in the fly tying world?
I'm absolutely digging what's going on, because it's so many different little, almost niche, and then there's crossover between different niches, and there are people who are still, you know, dedicated to tying classic Catskill dry flies, you know, the origin, New York, Upper Delaware, and which is unbelievable. They're, you know, going back and tying on classic hooks using and looking at the guys who started this whole thing out. And then you have guys that are tying with the most modern materials there are, synthetics, and they're putting together flies that no one would have ever dreamed of. And we even have people now, a lot of the Instagram folks, their flies are really kind of like old Atlantic full-dress salmon flies. They're really works of art more than they are functional fishing flies. But that's a great thing, too. It's really pushing the envelope. And a lot of young people coming into the sport. And I think that's an incredible thing. I mean, there are a few truly gifted tires that are not even teenagers yet.
Right.
And that's awesome to me.
I love what the camaraderie around the fly tying community, when you're talking about just fly fishing and then fly tying specifically, there's like a huge camaraderie, even at the symposium, amongst the fly tires, amongst the people coming to the fly tying symposium. Tying brings people together.
It does. And you have, you know, in most cases, a huge range of ages, just staggering.
Yeah.
You know, tires that are as young as 10 years old and, you know, guys up in their 90s, really.
Yeah.
The one thing I really would like to see is more female tires. I think that they could add so much to to fly tying.
Sure.
I'm not really sure why there aren't more. You know, any of you out there listening, you know, please just ask questions.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes. And I really think it would add something.
Speaking of questions, I mean, do you get a lot of people commenting on your YouTube videos? And do you get like dialogue happening amongst each pattern?
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, it's a lot of deleting. there's some people that I've learned are very particular about their method or the way they see fly tying.
Right.
And, you know, if you get away from that in the least little bit, they can get very sensitive. Just to keep things on the, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. And
sure.
So they're you know, comments that I have to delete on YouTube. It's just, you know, this
not
is
not appropriate for what you're.
Yeah, this is supposed to be fun and it's supposed to be learning. And, you know, I understand there's territoriality and things like that, but there are other places for that. So, yeah, we try to keep it pretty, pretty clean.
So let me ask you, as somebody who puts out stuff, you know, on different social media channels and you get comments that maybe you wouldn't rather see there, you don't think I should be bashful about deleting if I think it's necessary?
No, I won't delete critical stuff. If somebody has a different material that they use or they don't particularly like that style of fly and give a good reason why, I'll leave it. There's no problem with that. But if it's really just kind of more hate stuff than anything, I will delete it and have no, you know, that's my prerogative. I'm doing this stuff. You're looking at it on YouTube. Yes, you are looking at ad banners on this stuff. So you are paying a little as far as I'm concerned. But that's, you know, you're getting a lot of good information from these videos. And having someone that just bashes it for the sake of bashing. We have over 400 videos now. I think we're like 438 or something. And
that's awesome.
And so I've gotten a pretty thick skin for the most part.
I know you're kind of humble as far as, you know, not trying to over promote yourself here on this podcast, but I'm going to ask because I know that there are maybe some vendors out there, some manufacturers, some flag tying companies who may want to consider using Tightline Productions. So can I just ask you like what type of services you would offer, whether it be a company, a product, if somebody had a reel or a rod or a service, what type of services that could Tightline Productions offer that company?
Sure. We are a full service video production company. We shoot in all 4K now. We have, you know, a full array of equipment to handle anything from interviews to really remote wilderness shoots. Underwater capabilities, extreme macro capabilities. That's kind of what set us apart. We specialize in interviews as well. And so really anything to promote their product we can do.
And if a manufacturer or somebody wanted to like inquire, and do you have like a promotional video that you show or past work?
Absolutely. We have most of it's on Vimeo and again, something Joan does exceptionally well. If somebody calls and has a project that they're interested in, she can put together a portfolio of past work that's in that kind of in that range, that category, subject area even sometimes,
sure.
But or level of production. And, you know, we can, because of the internet, you can view it as they're speaking on the phone, which is just miraculous.
So cool. Well, before we close, Tim, can I ask you to do me a favor and let our listeners know about your different channels, how to get a hold of you and that type of thing, your website and that type of thing?
Sure. Tightlinevideo.com. You can get there. We also have practicalpatterns.com is another way to find us. Again, with Orvis, we have a video that appears on their weekly fly fishing blog. The Orvis Learning Center, the fly tying section of that, is populated entirely with our videos. It's a great resource. They have additional information that we don't include with our videos, such as materials lists. Midcurrent is another one. They have a complete library of our tying videos. Trout Unlimited is including the national website is including a lot of them. And again, I'm probably forgetting some other people. I'm sorry, guys.
Your YouTube channel.
Our YouTube channel. And if you were to search Tightline Video or Tim Flagler, you'll get to our YouTube channel. And there's just this whole long scrolling list of 430-odd videos that You can view each and every one of them. Feel free to comment.
Sure.
Keep it clean, guys.
Well, we have an exhibitors party to get to.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So why don't we head over there? Tim, it's been such an honor to have you on the podcast.
Rob, thank you very much for having me. It's great. And good luck with the rest of the show season.
I'm excited.
You got a busy season coming
up. Busy season. 7 shows. This is the first.
Oh, man.
My wife. Thank God for my wife. She's very kind to let me do this.
That's awesome.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.